sign every year. And I don't have a quorum, but we'll start anyhow. Commissioner Swiggum. Oh, okay, let's do this first. Okay. I'm not looking at the agenda.
Oh, okay,
agenda. Yeah, you want to go later? There's nobody talking to this. Well, let's bring them talking over.
Who is that? Two best friends.
Commissioner, welcome to the committee.
We have a problem.
Yes, we do.
That's what everyone brings to this point.
$5 billion in growing.
I said in growing.
Mr. Chairman, we were just trying to figure out an answer to a discussion that you and I had in your room here 10 days ago, was it? I think.
On the lights?
Yeah, on the lights. Yeah.
You may want to briefly touch on that in your presentation, too. But welcome to the committee, Mr. Speaker. Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. And members, thank you for the opportunity to present to your committee the budget that comes before us for the next biennium. Mr. Chairman, if it'd be okay, let me introduce Ms. Jackson, who is our CFO of the department. And behind me, I have our two assistant commissioners, Patricia Todd and Thomas Joachim, who will be available for any specific issues of our budget, of the cash flow, of the fees, of the assessments that we need to get you all the information that you would. Mr. Chairman, I plan on maybe doing a little bit of an overview very quickly, Mr. Chairman, of the department, the monies, where the monies come from and where they flow to, what they are for various programs and services that we render. Secondly, I'd like to go through some of the budget initiatives that Governor Plenty has recommended. Five different initiatives that I will speak to in general sense. Then Ms. Jackson will go through each of them in specific and give you more specific numbers than I will probably be giving you. And then stand for any of the comments, questions that you might have.
Okay. And members, I think you all have this in your packet. Representative Swiggum, I'm assuming you're going to be used as Speaker Swiggum. Now you're going to be using this.
Should have that.
And then you have a... We asked for a little more detail on the budget, so you have...
Did you get his name right?
Yes, come in. I shouldn't insult him calling him Representative Swiggum because he only made $32,000, but now he's getting his I-5 up. He's smart. He's a good guy. So then you have this.
Mr. Chair, I object. He's always been a dedicated public servant.
He has been. In fact, Commissioner Swiggum will tell you I told him to go for this job in his office. So, members, if you look here, and then, Commissioner, did you pass this, or is this from...
That is from us, too, I believe.
Oh, okay, there's the cover sheet. All right. So there you go, members, if you want to follow through on look on the budget, more details.
Yeah.
And, Commissioner, you'll be going through this, and I'm assuming hitting the change items in here, huh?
In your packet, I don't think it's at the end of that packet. Yeah.
Go ahead.
And then before you, the other sheet you had is the cash flow of our CCLD money as we look forward to the next 3 years. And so, Mr. Chairman, that relates to some of the initiatives. That's correct, on your left hand. That relates to some of the initiatives that we have that the governor has recommended. Mr. Chairman, members, again, for your just general ideas of your Department of Labor and Industry, for the biennium, about $272 million, of which less than 1%, or $1.76 million, come from our general fund. Obviously, that means 99%+ of our agency funds comes from other areas, most of them fees, workers' compensation premiums, a workforce development fund, or federal dollars in the area of OSHA. But $1.76 million, less than 1% of our total operating funds comes from the general fund which you are dealing with right here. Within the units, Mr. Chairman, Workers' compensation would be our most expensive unit, as you would probably expect. $159 million, 90 in full-time, 90.6, because I know you want to be more specific, 90.6 full-time equivalents in the workers' compensation division. Now, out of the $159 million, as you would guess, it doesn't take us $159 million to run the administration of workers' compensation and funding of OAH. Most of that, in fact, about $142 million of the $159 comes in to go directly out into benefits of various injured workers in the state of Minnesota. Supplementary benefits, which were eliminated in 1995, but there are still a number of Minnesotans collecting supplementary benefits that were injured previous to 1995, the reform bill. Supplementary benefits account for $100 million of the $142 million. Second injury fund benefits amounts to $24 million of the $142. Now, again, second injury fund benefits members, as you remember, were also eliminated in the 1995 reform bill. The uninsured, those individuals who get hurt and working for for companies and businesses that are either uninsured or go bankrupt, amounts to $18 million. And then, of course, our bulk rehab unit, which we do run, vocational rehabilitation, is another $4.2 million. So that's the breakdown of the workers' compensation money, all funded, Mr. Chairman, on assessments of premiums of employers in the state of Minnesota. OSHA department. Our OSHA department made up of two divisions. First of all, consultation, and then compliance. Two different divisions make up our OSHA department at $24 million, 99 employees that work within our OSHA department, either in investigation, which is compliance, or in consultation, where we go out and basically educate and work with the businesses in the state to make sure that their job sites, their businesses are safe for our workers in the state. Construction codes and licensing, Mr. Chairman. $62 million, about 163 employees, construction codes and licensing, all funded by fees. And we do have a couple of change orders or initiatives of the governor relating to construction code licensing, which I will be speaking about in just a few minutes. Now to the provisions of a unit which comes from the general fund. And that would be our labor standards unit. We do have 19 employees in labor standards. They do the investigation of all the labor law in the state, the prevailing wage, minimum wage, child labor laws. Mr. Chairman, the funding for that department is from the general fund, and that's $1.76 million. Of the 12 and a half people of the 19 that work in labor standards. The other 6.5 persons, full-time equivalent, work in our apprenticeship unit, our apprenticeship program, and that is funded by the Workforce Development Fund. Those $2.3 million come from Workforce Development. And then lastly, Mr. Chairman, the general support, the division is $23 million, 118 employees. That includes our legal department, that includes our communication department, that includes our IT department, all those units that serve the other units that I have mentioned and already gone through. Mr. Chairman, if I could at this time, I'd like to talk about five initiatives in general that have been recommended by the governor. That will be before you for your decision, and then I will turn to Ms. Jackson to become more specific in regards to the budget numbers. The first one, Mr. Chairman, that I would mention to you is the initiative of going to biennial licensing, a 2-year licensing for registration for our residential contractors, for plumbers, for our boiler operators. Mr. Chairman, I think that this is would be a good thing to do, to go to 2-year licensing, even if we did not have a budget deficit as we're trying to deal with right now. We'd be asking for 2 years license fee at one time, but license the individuals for a 2-year period of time as opposed to a 1-year period of time. Mr. Chairman, I think that we would be able to reduce our agency workload and processing the licenses, spread out the workload and spread out the cost some, and ensure that licensing processing delays would not take place. Very honestly, members, last spring we had some delay. I'm sure each of you probably received a letter or two or three from your constituents in regards to contractor licenses, which we had some difficulty with. We will not have that difficulty this spring, Mr. Chairman. I can guarantee we will not have that difficulty. But the idea of going to two-year licenses spreads out our workload, helps us become more efficient, and mostly will improve the service that we are able to give to your constituents in the state. The second change that I would like to
make. There are no license fee increases, correct?
Mr. Chairman, at this point, there are no license fee increases in regards to what I have just mentioned,
right,
in regards to the initiative to go to two-year biennial licensing. There would be no license fee increases in any of in that area. We do have the potential of fee increases, both in initiatives coming up a little bit in just the second that I'm going to speak about in regards to our permits, but no license fee except attached to it.
Not to the biennial licensure.
Not to the biennial licensure. No license fee attached to that.
Representative Reiners, did you have a question on that?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioner, what's your reaction been from folks out there doing the jobs? I know we do biennial licensing in a lot of commerce areas, but this would be new for some of them. Has it been hallelujah, we don't have to deal with this every year, or have there been concerns from, you know, from the folks actually doing the work?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Reiner, since the initiative has become public as of the governor's budget, we have received very, very few contacts, most of them positive. I've spoken to persons in the field, and I've spoken to associations. All of them have very, very positive comments to the idea of the two-year license. Mr. Chairman, the second initiative that I'll speak to of the governor's actually would be a fee increase, Mr. Chairman, and that has to do with our building permits and our plan review fees. Mr. Chairman, these fees have not been changed since 1990, if I remember correctly. Since 1990, we have not had an increase in these fees. Mr. Chairman, the cost to the department to provide the service of the building permits and the plan reviews, the costs exceed our revenue. As you probably know, generally speaking, the state tries to receive or recover revenues for the costs that are incurred in any type of a program or any type of licensure. Our fees do not cover the costs within the department. We also noticed that the plan review and inspection fees for many of the cities around the state that do plan review and inspection, cities such as Bloomington, St. Cloud, Duluth, Rochester, St. Paul, Minneapolis, when we compare ourselves to the fees that they require, we are much less. In other words, their fees are much higher than what we charge. So we are recommending a fee increase, Mr. Chairman, in the building permits and plan review fees to the point that the fees recover the costs that are associated with and connected with the permits and the plan review.
Representative Mahoney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Commissioner Swigum. This has been an area that I've tried to follow the inspection fees and the recovery of costs. And your department probably is closer to the real cost of it than many small and mid-sized towns and suburbs that do their own fees for construction.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those have been cash cows for these small municipalities. And small, some of them are a couple hundred thousand people, some are a couple thousand people. One thing I would ask before we vote on any kind of fee increase is I'd like to really see how you figured what it's costing you, what it actually costs to do it, and what you're charging. In this case, you're charging hospitals and public buildings and schools, so you're charging another municipality. It might be a good lesson for the municipalities to actually start charging what it's worth. Now, just not get myself into too much more trouble by just leaving it there.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, do you want me to get myself in trouble and try to respond or not?
No, you could just have somebody drop it off to my office and I'll use it later.
Okay. Ms. Jackson, do that. Yes, she will.
Thank you.
And well, save the bottom line, Mr. Chairman, I represent my office, you know, is that the fee for service it should cover the service that you provide, but it should not increase fees to the point that those fees can be used for other services, like maybe running a swimming pool or whatever it may be.
Filling a budget hole?
Filling a budget hole, correct. So, Mr. Chairman, that recommendation is before you. It has been approved by the governor. And, Mr. Chairman, this increase is very important to us, not only to cover the services that we provide, but we are finding in some cases that because municipalities, some of the municipalities I mentioned are charging higher rates for their customers, for their plan reviews, that they're actually sending the work to us, the DLI, because we do it cheaper, and then we see the difference, and that's not a good situation. I think Representative Boney might have been referring to that consequence.
Representative Poppy, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I do have a question on this, Commissioner. You said it's been since 1990 since this was increased. Is there a period of time that this is reviewed? I'm just curious as how many years did the service actually outdo the fee that was attached to it?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Poppy, I cannot tell you that our department has had a policy of reviewing the fee at every 2 years or 5 years or 10 years. Obviously, looking at 1990 and 2008, you might say our policy is every 18 years, maybe. I'm just being a little tongue-in-cheek there, but Representative Poppy, we ought to, on an ongoing basis, make sure that our department does some type of has a policy to at least assess the fees and assess the service, the cost of the service, so that there's a relationship between the two. Let me look at Ms. Jackson and see if we have had, on an ongoing basis, has the department had a policy to review the fees?
Not at this time.
Not at this time. There is being one established, though. Mr. Chairman, going on to the third initiative of the governor's before us, Mr. Chairman, this would be a elimination of $1.5 million of a requirement of transferring of funds from our CCLD unit division to the general fund. The law states, Mr. Chairman, and whether it was appropriate or inappropriate, an overlook or not an overlook, there was a transfer back in 2005 when construction code was brought together at the department. There was a transfer of $1.5 million for the year to the general fund. Unfortunately, the words in the language in the law are that it is maintained each and every year that we transfer this $1.5 million. So basically, you can say, going back to Representative Mahoney's question, we're taking $1.5 million of fees and we're transferring it to the general fund, which I think is not necessarily the appropriate direct thing to do. So the governor has recommended to us, and with our initiative, we asked him to do so, an elimination of this transfer of the $1.5 million. And he did agree to that. It is in his budget initiative, and it would be a very positive thing, both for your constituents that pay fees to the state, as well as to making sure that our CCLD funding stream maintains the balance it needs to write out checks and to make a solvency in that fund. So that's $1.5 million per year. That obviously to you and your concern would be a hit to the general fund, but it would be the right thing to do, and hopefully that's why the governor recommended it. The fourth change, Mr. Chairman, would be for our apprenticeship program expansion. Members, right now about 90% of the state's apprentices are involved in some type of construction work. We would like to expand the apprenticeship program, and the governor has recommended $250,000 each year to allow us to do that. And then fifthly and lastly, Mr. Chairman, the governor has recommended in the general fund a reduction of $100,000 each year of the biennium from the general fund to our labor standards unit, which receives the general fund money as our share of the budget deficit on a percentage basis as other agencies are looking at reductions. Mr. Chairman, we believe in speaking to the unit director, who is Ms. Roslyn Wade. We believe that we will be able to continue our commitment, that we're going to be able to ensure Minnesota's work and living environments are equitable, that we are going to be able to continue to investigate and enforce the law as it is with this $100,000 reduction. So, Mr. Chairman, if you don't mind, I'd like to turn to Ms. Jackson, who is going to give us more specifics. And then, of course, the two assistant commissioners are also here with us that will be able to speak about their programs in specific.
Well, Commissioner, if you don't mind, I thought during this break, since we have most of the members here, I'd bring up the Mint Youth Student Association and just for their short presentation, which isn't going to take long. And I want most of the committee to be here because we promised them last week that they would be. So can we just take a little break? And they'll come up and give the little presentation, and then we'll bring you back on.
And the president of the association this year is from what town?
Actually, this gentleman right here goes to Sue Masabi, but I think he's not a, you know.
Still remember dinner.
Oh, well, okay. Yeah. That's good. And he came a lot farther, and came from a lot farther away than you.
We'll be back.
Yes. Just hold on there. Jacob and Graham, welcome to the committee, and just identify yourself. You know the procedure here. So.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Jacob Littler, the president of the Minnesota State College Student Association, representing the two-year college students in the Minsky system.
And my name is Graham Allen, and I work for the Minnesota State University Student Association.
And we're just here briefly, just for a couple minutes, to kind of inform the committee about something we've been working on over the last couple weeks. We've been doing regional press events around the state at each of the six cities in greater Minnesota that have university campuses, in conjunction with our two-year colleges in the region, to raise awareness about the issues facing higher education and how the governor's proposed budget and any other cuts could negatively affect higher education in Minnesota. And all of that is culminating tomorrow with a press event and rally at the Capitol. We'll be having a press event at 12:30 in the Rotunda, followed by a small rally of students. And we just wanted to make sure that the committee was aware of that, and that, you know, extend an invitation to everybody, if you're able to stop in and see what's going on and meet some students from around the state who will be here to participate in that. And along with that, we'll also be doing individual visits. A lot of your offices may have already been contacted by students from our campuses to set up meetings, just to meet with you to talk about what our major issues are and how we want to see this tough budget situation approached in a way that will benefit students and the system as a whole.
What he said.
Any questions of the committee members? See, Commissioner, I told you that would be short. He came all the way from Virginia just for this. See that? So your rally tomorrow, who do you have speaking at it? I know I can't be there. But
we've got Representative Pawlowski, Senator Ladd, Representative Greiling, and Representative Seifert.
Well, do you want anybody from the committee here, Representative Reiner? You should. Atkins, I think Representative Atkins should be.
He'd be good, but he's busy tomorrow, Mr. Chair.
And I am too. I have.
You'd be best.
I mean, you know, how about Representative Mahoney or Representative Reiner or somebody? How about Representative Representative Norness? I mean, you should get somebody from the Higher Education Committee too, right?
Yeah, absolutely, Mr. Chair. Members, we've
definitely. How about Commissioner Swiggum?
he's trying to train on you.
As long as he does our talking points, we're fine.
Yes. Good luck to you, and thank you. Then, any questions of
students. Thank you.
Thank you.
Commissioner, come on back up then. Ms. Jackson, come on.
Mr. Chairman, members, thank you very much. Again, this is Ms. Keith Jackson, who is the CFO of DLI. And to get into more specifics in regards to the initiative and what it means for the various funds, I've asked her to sit there and to then make a presentation to the group.
Welcome.
Thank you. Referring back to page 9, budget change item, biennial license renewals and scheduling, that's in your biennial budget book, your pages. The biennial license renewals and scheduling initiatives, if you look at the net fiscal impact, you'll see $2.7 million there in 2010 and then a reduction in 2011. By moving to a biennial license, what happens is those licenses that would have been renewed in 2011 are pulled forward into backward into 2010. And what that does is, on the next page 10, I provide a summary of the licensure, which is $1.4 million, and there's also the contractor recovery fee that would have to be paid for the two-year period, and that's $1.2 million. And that makes up the $2.7 million. This is not a fee increase. We are just pulling those license fees into 2010. We currently have biennial licensure for electrical contractors, manufactured structures, and building contractors. The new biennial licenses would total about 66,000. And that would be for the boiler operators, it's approximately 38,000 of those, plumbers, almost 13,000, water and residential contractors, that's almost 15,000. This proposal would do several things. First, it would make it biennial licenses for these individual contractors here. We would also stagger the licensing. Most of the licenses, for example, residential contractors, are due by March 31st. And what we would like to do is to level that out so that at any point in time, we would not have more than 10 or 15,000 licenses due in any particular month. As our commissioner stated, when we are overloaded, there is created backlogs in processing those licenses, and again, that generates complaints because our various contractors are waiting to get their license so that they can do a job and they want to have that certificate. And so we would like to eliminate that and improve our customer service. And by doing this, we would also be able to improve our internal processing. In the second year, you see a reduction of $285,000. That would result from just the postage savings, from just the postage for mailing out the various renewal notices that have to occur. And also, because our volumes are so high in any particular month, oftentimes, particularly in the winter months, we have to hire additional staff in our mail room and in financial services just to make the actual deposits so that we can deposit those checks. We do have electronic online renewal for some of our licenses. However, it hasn't gone on as fast as we'd like. For example, our boilers, only 21% of the licenses are renewed online. Electrical, 10%. Pipe fitters, 13%, plumbers, 13%, water conditioning, 14%, for an average of 18% or about 7,600 licenses.
Representative Aubrey Miller, did you have a question?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. When you were talking about staggered registration times, will some contractors get a one-year license now to stagger it out, or are we going to have just 2 years from now all these same folks back in line doing 2 years worth of work?
Mr. Chair, Representative, some licenses would be on the first year, 2010, would be renewed for 1 year, and then some would be renewed for two years, and we would stagger those out so that we would create this two-year renewal cycle. We would like to work with the various industries to make sure that we're not in conflict with any of their construction schedules or testing or training that they would be providing. If they do that on an annual basis, say in February, we would not interfere with that particular schedule.
Yeah. Representative Mahoney, did you have the same point?
No, I point to the same issues here. And really my concern is, I have all this concern for the contractors not being able to keep up with this change and going from 1 year to 2 year. And, you know, on some level, the plumbers and the boiler operators and water and residential contractors, when you stagger them, how are you going to make sure they're aware that, you know, they open up the envelope and see it's $200 rather than $100, and they go kind of ballistic. And how are you going to inform them that they are going from a 1 year cycle to a 2 year cycle? Obviously, with your online stuff, it's pretty obvious that you've got a very small group there. You have to do some mailing. Anything else?
Okay. Mr. Chair, Representative, we've discussed various approaches, but we would really like to work with the various industries and their representatives to get each industry may be a little bit different. They may have a different approach. But certainly mailing, putting postings on our internet site, our web location, advertising in the various newsletters, anything that we can get the word out, we will try. Our commissioner reminds me that also on the license notification we can put a statement when the expiration date is, so it may be, you know, 10 or 11. It's probably just like our driver's license.
A lot of people have paid attention to that expiration date.
Yeah. And the other issue that we do have is these licenses are, the information is posted on our website, so if they're going to apply for a job or, you know, a project, the general contractor would be able to check their license and give a little reminder as well.
Well, Mr. Chair, if I might, my concern is that you're dealing with a population that is not internet savvy. The majority of them are not internet savvy, or at least a big chunk of them, and I wouldn't put it past a few of these groups to just, you know, lump all this stuff into junk mail and throw it so long as it wasn't really very specific. So the question I have really is, have you figured in how much mail costs and advertising costs into this savings that you're planning on doing? And I suspect you haven't, but you might want to think about that.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, Representative Mahoney, we have thought about that. We have considered that in our first year, which would be 2010, trying to come up with different strategies for how to promote this and increase awareness so that hopefully no one is caught off guard. There are, in any big transition, there are always a few individuals that don't seem to get any of the mailings or updates and those types of things. So hopefully we can deal with them very, very quickly and efficiently.
Okay, continue then.
The other component of this change item is that we would be eliminating the fees that we currently charge for replacement copies of the license. Different licenses require a fee, such as boilers is $20 for the replacement. Electrical licenses are $15. Manufacturers, structures are $10. And there are many others that do not charge a fee. And so we would like to just make this kind of a free service for those individuals. They would then be able to go onto our internet site and print a copy, given appropriate security, so they could print a copy and make that last for the duration of their license, whether it's 6 months or a year. They can go in and just print that for free. Our next change item in the construction codes and services.
Before we move on, Commissioner Twigum, regarding the whole licensing issue, and you talked to me, and I know there's some concerns by some folks about this electronic licensing initiative, and maybe you can explain it a little to the committee, because is that bill being carried in state government finances?
division, but you're going to be doing a lot of the legwork. Do you want to explain that to the committee a little bit? So,
Mr. Chairman, I will try to do my best without OET being here. And Office of Enterprise Technology is basically the lead agency in this. I do happen to be the, quote, sponsor of the electronic licensing project. Mr. Chairman, the legislature in 2007 saw in its wisdom to give the electronic licensing project $7.5 million of general fund money to ease your constituents' access to their licenses in the state. Now, many of the different agencies and departments have done a lot of electronic access, but this would be from a statewide aspect. A person come in and say, "I want to open a restaurant," and find the 14 or 11 or 12 licenses they need in order to open a restaurant. And do it with ease. The $7.5 million of members was an appropriation through this June 30th. We are moving ahead with the project. Members, both the EMS board and the post board, our two pilot, if you want to call them pilot agencies, have now begun the electronic price licensing. The access. Going ahead into the future, members, there was a request, or there would be a general fund request necessary to go ahead and fund the project into the future to get other agencies. We started with two small ones, as you can tell, EMS and Post Board, to get larger agencies on board. Mr. Chairman, it was not seen fit at the right time to come and ask this legislature for millions of dollars out of the general fund to do that. So the recommendation from the governor, separate from DLI, as you know, separate from the purpose of what we're doing right now, is to do a vendor financing plan that would include an increase in all licenses in the state of $10 or 10%, $10 or 10% of what the licensee is to fund the electronic licensing technology effort. Members, that bill will be carried by OET, not by DLI. But you are correct, it would increase all licenses by $10 for this purpose of the project.
The commissioners, did I hear you say $10 or 10%?
$10 or 10%.
Yes. So are there any licenses that are going to be paying $25, $30 because they're $200 or $300 licenses?
Mr. Chairman, yes.
And so you've been around here a long time, Commissioner. Is that a tax increase or a revenue enhancer, or how does that?
Mr. Chairman, it is a fee for the service. To provide this service to our constituents and your constituents of electronic access, it would be the fee that would be required to provide that.
Representative Detmer.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Commissioner, wouldn't it be safe to say, as the population of these trades, more younger people getting into these trades, wouldn't it be more of these people, the younger population, wanting to do these things electronically online?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Detmer, yes, electronically and online for sure from access. And also we find at many, many different hours of the day other than just your normal work hours. I mean, there are folks that go online at 2 o'clock in the evening, 2 a.m., and want to access, fill out, get their license, fill it out. So it's not only access from the standpoint of the ease for our constituents, but it's the they can do it any time of the day.
Okay. And Commissioner, do you have any idea what kind of revenue this raises?
What type of revenue?
What kind? What number we're talking about?
Mr. Chairman, over 6 years, and members, if I miss this by a million or two, please give me some leeway because I'm trying to go from my memory. I think over 6 years, Mr. Chairman, it was $43 million. Am I close? Do you have it before you?
And we have something out of another budget, so it says 38 over 8 years, but you're going a little higher now. And so this just covers the expenses, or does this make...
That is correct.
Does this include continual technology upgrades?
Mr. Chairman, there obviously has to be continual upgrades to technology. I believe it does cover that that operation, that maintenance, yes. But it, I thought it was over 6 years. Every license would be increased for a six-year period of time. And Kerry, I apologize, Mr. Chairman. I don't have the budget that I don't have the OEC's budget in front of me, but I thought it was 6 years and 44 million.
Okay, well, we got a little different estimate there. But one final question I got asked by a lobbyist who represents some small groups that are licensed. If you're licensed, if you get a state license, if you have a state license but it's issued by a county, will they be included in this?
You have a state license issued by a county. Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry, I cannot answer that. I wish Commissioner Khanna or somebody from OEC was here.
Could you find that answer out for me?
I sure will.
Okay. Any other questions on this? Mr. Representative Clark.
Mr. Chairman, will there be another people laid off or fired?
Mr. Chairman, I missed the question. I apologize.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner, will there be a number of people who will be laid off or fired?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Clark, can I ask in relationship to what? You mean if we go to technology?
That's the point. I was Representative Gunther and I were conferring about this. And
well, Mr. Chairman, Representative Clark, I think the whole goal of technology is for government to become more efficient.
Mm-hmm.
And I suspect that the answer to your question, although you might be more direct with the word laid off or fired, I would say become more efficient with our services that we provide to the public of the state.
Okay, but
go ahead, Representative Clark.
Is there a number attached to that? Become more
Mr. Chairman, Representative Clark, I have never seen a number, no. A number of full-time equivalents that we've had, so I've never seen that.
A projection that you might desire or you might approve.
Again, Mr. Chairman, Representative Clark.
Okay. A number, Commissioner, that you think, a number of people that you think might either be, that you will no longer need for their service.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Representative Clark, those full-time equivalents would probably be in each and every agency, each and every department that we have in the state. A aggregate number I have never been given, nor have I been aware of from OET, from being a sponsor of the project. I can't answer that question. I think we had Commissioner Gopal or Sarah Slaughteroff here. They might be able to answer it, but I can't. And, Mr. Chairman, I did find... to go back to a previous question of yours, the license increase, it will be over a six-year period of time. The license increase will be over a six-year period of time, but the project will be funded over 8 years. But nobody would have a license increase for more than 6 years, I think, is what the answer to the previous question was.
Representative Eastland, then.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioner, what's the range of the cost of the licenses that we're talking about here?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Eastland, licenses, fees within our department, from like an electrical license to a contractor license?
The ones that we're talking about renewing here, what are the range and cost?
Mr. Chairman, I think I'm going to turn to Ms. Jackson if I could answer that, because I know she has it in the right spot.
For example, Mr. Chair, Representative, the boiler licenses average around $20 to $50. The plumbers range from $40 to $120. There are some that are $55, $70, $40.
Chair. What is the residential building contractor's license cost? And then when you add on the subcontractor's license that we passed last year, what does that cost for renewal?
Mr. Chair, Representative, the residential building contractor, the annual renewal cost is $100.
Mr. Chair?
Go ahead.
Is that Is it renewed once every 2 years now, or every year now? Is it every 2 years?
The residential building contract is annual.
Annual. Well, I just looked at my renewal form, and I saw a number on the top that was about $300 and some bucks.
Mr. Chair, Representative, that includes the contractor recovery fee, which is based on, it'll lose me at the second, but it's based on the volume of, I believe, the projects that you, or income that you perform it with any given year. There's a price break on that particular one.
Okay, so then I'm just trying to guess the $10 fee that we're going to charge you, the $10 fee or the 10% fee, that's going to be based on only the license fee, not the total amount that we pay when we renew our license.
Mr. Chair, Representative, yes, it should only be on the actual fee, not the annual license fee or biennial fee, not the cost for the contractor recovery.
Okay, and then the second question, Commissioner, I came in a late, maybe if you answered this, you can just skip it. I don't want to bore everybody here again. But what is the savings that this is going to bring to the department? And if there is savings, how does that reflect back to the license holder if we're doing a fee here to get it up and running? Is there a time and space out in the future when we will see a reduction? Or is there...
Mr. Chairman, Representative Eastman, can I ask specifically, are you speaking about the savings and for the fee of the 2-year licensing, or for the electronic licensing project?
For the electronic licensing project. The ultimate goal is that is supposed to become make the process more efficient and save save money. I would guess.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, that kind of runs in line with the question that Representative Clark asked. Maybe not totally mutually inclusive, but it might have been exclusive of Representative Clark's question. She might have been coming from a different standpoint. Mr. Chairman, Representative Eastland, I cannot tell you what the potential savings are to the state and from becoming more efficient and handling the citizens' fees in this case and the citizens' access for their licenses. I don't have that number before me. That's a completely separate issue than what we have before us from DLI today. That comes from OEC, and I'm sorry, I don't have that number with me.
Members, just for what it's worth, in my experience, technology has never saved government any money. Okay. So, Commissioner, just so I understand it before I get to Representative Mahoney and Haas, so you said over a 6-year period they're going to have their license increased by 10% or $10, just one time over that 6-year period, right? And then?
No, Mr. Chairman, that'd be for each year.
Huh? So every year to fund this project they're going to have a 10% increase or a $10 increase?
Mr. Chairman, that would be correct.
So if a license this year is $100, they're going to pay $110, and then next year they're going to pay $121.
Oh, no.
That's what I'm asking. Okay.
No, Mr. Chairman, it doesn't accumulate, but it's $10 additional each year, but it doesn't add on top of each other. So it would be $110, $110, $110, Mr. Chairman.
So it only goes up once.
That is correct. But for each of the 6 years. $10 for each of the 6 years. Am I maybe not making it clear?
I'm not. So, is it 100? If it's 100 in 2010 or 9, it's going to be 110 in 2010.
Correct.
Then it's going to be 110 or 120.
110. 110.
Mr. Chair, if I could just.
Representative Bly, are you a Massey citizen?
I'm going to ask. Maybe this will help clarify. Do you mean after the 6 years it would drop back down? To the other.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Bly, that is correct.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's a $10 fee each year for the access of electronic licensing, which is Mr. Chairman, I understand what you say about technology, that you never see the costs go down or the efficiencies come forward in the department that you would expect for our citizens. Mr. Chairman, I understand that it would be the access to technology of $10 per year per license. An increase in the fee.
So just to take one of our members, Representative Mahoney's $100 plumber's license is going to, and you're going to do it in all over a 2-year cycle. So for the next 2 years, he's going to pay $110, and then when you renew 2 years out, he's still going to pay $110 for those that 2-year cycle too.
Mr. Chairman, it would be $10 per year. So if he renews for the 2-year period of time, it would probably be then $120 per year.
Right.
Okay, that would be correct. And Mr. Chairman, when did Representative Mahoney renew his license?
Pardon?
We were talking about your specific license, Representative.
Mr. Chair, my license would be on this 2-year project would be in a typical year. I would renew for $60 per year. I think it might be even $80 now. I would spend $160 for the original 2 years, and then you would tack on another $20 for that those 2 years, and then the following 2 years I would pay the $80, I would actually pay $180 every for three times underneath this plan to pay for this.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Mahoney is correct. Now, again, Mr. Chairman, that is an initiative of the Office of Enterprise Technology. That is not the initiative of DLI that is before us with our DLI budget.
Mm-hmm. Continue then. Just so we know there's increases. Representative Mahoney?
Well, yes, and actually, to Representative Eastland, I'll tell just a quick story. About 6 years ago, Representative Gunther and I helped me engineer a $5 fee onto the boiler license so that we could inspect the boilers in this particular state, which we had, under previous administrations, had gotten behind on. And it was supposed to come off after, I think it was 2 years or 4 years, I can't remember exactly. Never come off. So don't ever expect this $10 to come off. I don't, anyhow. I'll say that. But my real question here is, this is all primarily to upgrade the system. It is not, it's just upgrading the system. We can already do all the online registration and license renewal we want, correct?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Mahoney, some agencies, some departments are further ahead than other agencies and departments in their ability to access online electronic licensing. Different agencies are at different spots. This provides a portal for the entire state citizen to get exactly what they need, know where they're going to need to go, and do it online.
Mr. Representative Mahoney.
The hard part for, I would think, for the people on this committee to look and see this is that your division, your department has done a responsible job, has gotten your license renewals up to snuff. You've done what you were supposed to do, yourself and your predecessors, and now, unfortunately, you're going to charge the people that you are in charge of more money for that. That's kind of, you know, I paid for it once, I'm paying for it a second time. So I'm not thrilled with that particular requirement to pay for everybody else's stuff. That sounds pretty socialist to me.
You have to work to get to that one.
The other thing is, and that's more a comment than a question, Commissioner Sigham, so you know how I feel about these fee increases that keep coming back to people. I want to go back to contacting people on, this is a kind of a real shift with the 2-year deal, and I stepped out and I to call from people. Have you talked to anyone about these outside of the agency about how you were going to contact them? Because I called my local union and talked to the three business agents, and the contractor's representative left before I caught up with them outside. So I didn't get a chance to ask them if you contacted them at all about how to go about this.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Mahoney, my understanding, and this is with my assistant commissioners here, is that it has been talked about at the board, the authoritative boards that have been created by this department, but it has not been outreach spoken to the various associations or groups yet. It's an initiative at this time. It's not anything that has come forward into law, so I certainly do plan to reach out to the various groups and associations, Representative Mahoney, but I cannot tell you at this time it's gone beyond the board.
Representative Mahoney does bring up a good point, Commissioner and members, and that is, and I don't know how this breaks down, Commissioner, maybe Ms. Jackson does, but your construction code division is funded primarily by licenses and permits, and if you're already doing this electronically,
I'm moving 150, $1.5 million.
Why do we have to charge the folks that are licensed at your department for doing something you obviously charged them for already?
Mr. Chairman, I believe you're referring back now again to the initiative of
the other licensing
project that comes from OET,
right,
not DLI.
Right. But I mean, I am referring to that, but we're all one big happy family around here, and I know your political philosophy because I served with you for 22 years. So my question again is, if you're already providing electronic monitoring where somebody can go online at 2 in the morning, listen, if I'm online at 2 in the morning, I'm like registering for a license. But anyway, that's a whole other issue. But anyway, I'm probably doing work, for the committee. But anyway, if that's the point, why are we going to charge your constituents for the same thing you're doing for them?
Mr. Chairman, I do believe that there would be improvements in their access. There would be improvements that would come forward as a citizen of the state as a whole. Mr. Chairman, I would, with all due respect, I would probably ask that be asked of OET as opposed to the Department of Labor and Industry. And I think it's a fair assessment. You and Representative Mahoney have come forward with a fair assessment, a very, very fair question.
And Mr. Chair, it took me about 3 minutes to do online, renew my license online, last time I renewed it online. So, again, your department's doing the right deal by people like that have a license like mine.
Representative Hunt.
Thank you very much. I would like to go to a comment that we flipped over real fast, and I think it is really a problem within the state that is not reflected within the schools, the counties, and the cities, and that's the annual review of fees and what fees are supposed to be doing. What is it that you're getting for your fee? And you take a look at that, and what is the taxpayer supposed to be, and what is the user supposed to be paying for? And when you have fees that go back, not just yours, but others, that go back to 1990, that's not good business. I don't know where in the business world that would be all right. I mean, it would be a hell of an advertisement, I suspect. Dairy Queens now are at 1990 prices. The Dairy Queen probably wouldn't be operating, wouldn't be able to sell it. So I think that the state should be looking forward to reviewing these on an annual basis, biannual basis. Also, on lower levels, we were under the impression, as in dealing with citizens, that you could only charge for the service and not for the increase of technology or the capital investment that takes place. We went around that in order to have businesses buy into a service that they wanted, but did not feel that the citizens could do that because we couldn't charge for that. And I would strongly disagree with our chair today. I think technology is the way to go, and I would absolutely have you pull up Stearns County's website because it's the second best operating website and county service in the United States. And people are registering like crazy, and it's saving government money and businesses money and citizens money, and it is the way to go. is the absolute way to go, and we should be running as fast as we can into the direction and hugging technology as much as we can, because it is part of the future.
Representative Haas, let me just stop there. I never said technology wasn't the way to go. I said it's expensive, and it's really expensive. And these gadgets that we got in this room and that everybody else has are extremely expensive. And if you look at it as a percentage of the of government, and especially even the state budget, it's growing exponentially. So, I mean, I can just tell you how much my first cell phone cost compared to the one I got in my pocket right now that I don't even know how to operate. But that's, you know, a whole other issue. I'm asking people to show me the savings, and we never save them. And that's been since I was years ago, Chair of State Government Finance, and statewide system project was going to save all this money, but it didn't save us. And when it costs more money, Representative Haas, your constituents just pay it. Like the whole revamping of the UI computer system, which they just assessed, and I think Representative Norris or Representative Gunther know that, they just assessed the user. So, and when, you know, and they'll do it again soon, I'm sure. So go ahead, Representative
Haas. Sure, could I just go on record as saying that you and I agree on an issue?
We agree on a lot of
issues. I just want this on record. I'm with you on this one.
We agree on a lot of issues. But no one can get a handle on how much we're spending on technology, Representative.
I appreciate your view. I still disagree with it.
Okay. Representative Commissioner Slagle.
Mr. Chairman, if you remember, before we entered into the question of e-project licensing, that project we were at...
we're going into the next into the next change item.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Our next initiative is on page 11, and that is the building permit and plan review adjustments. As our commissioner indicated, the last time that this fee was increased was back in 1990, 18 years ago. We are looking at this proposal as a market equity issue. We currently have the fee schedule for Minneapolis within this proposal, and that fee schedule was put together or effective in April of 2008. Our current schedule is with the side-by-side, indicates that our cost for the reinspection, the hourly rate, that fee, is $45 per hour, and Minneapolis is $63.25. We would like to adopt the Minneapolis fee schedule. In looking at the various fees, we looked at Bloomington, St. Cloud, Duluth, Rochester, St. Paul, as well as Minneapolis. And what is currently happening is that we believe that the market equity issue is that the work is being sent to the Department of Labor and Industry. We perform the work, send those plans and the review back to the municipality, and they're recouping the difference, which is all fine. However, we are running a deficit by performing those services, so we do need to recoup those costs.
Representative Mahoney.
Mr. Chair, it would be nice if you provide to the committee, if you looked at those other five municipalities, what they were charging. St. Paul charging 63, St. Cloud charging 63. That would be good for us to know, so we can figure it out.
Commissioner, if I could, to the point that's before us, I have asked our department to implement a fee study, because I do believe that fees should cover services, as Representative Haas has mentioned earlier. In the results that we found from that fee study, I think that Ms. Jackson would say that we have actually should be increasing the fees more than we are requesting right here if we were going to cover our full services provided by the department.
Mr. Chair, and Commissioner Swigum, then you really should increase it more than this, because you should cover your costs as a government. That's been a philosophy around here for the last few years. So maybe if you could share that with us, we could.
Mr. Chairman,
we could override you.
To your previous question, you had about 20 minutes ago, as well as to this one, I will have Ms. Jackson share with you directly the results of that these studies that we had implemented and went through, and what the cost would and should be if we were going to fully cover the cost of the search.
Representative,
our recommendation does not allow fully covering the search.
Representative Eastman.
Commissioner, the plan review process that you do now, how long does that typically take for various plans that you review at this point? And I guess my question is would a fee increase make that more efficient, and would there be a faster turnaround, or are we just adding costs and not getting any better results?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Eastman, if you don't mind, I'd have Commissioner Joachim answer the question.
Joachim, welcome.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, I'm Tom Joachim, Assistant Commissioner with the Department. Our current plan review fees that address the projects such as schools, hospitals, nursing homes, we're charged to look at all of those facilities. We can farm them out to a local jurisdiction if they have adequate staff to maintain that process. We follow those procedures. Our inspections and fees are, we have our regional staff people that are out there doing inspections for us, and that's what the fees are used for.
What's the normal time of it?
Oh, time frame, excuse me. The time frame. In law, you have established a 30-day limit for time frame on our response time for plan reviews. Our average time, because most of those are big projects, schools and hospitals, we average 21 days on our plan review, so 3 weeks' time for us to get the plans out once we get them submitted into our office.
Representative Gunter. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Either Mr. Joachim or Mr. Swigum can answer this. Are both Minneapolis's fees and labor and industry fees based on doing the same thing? And if so, is that an unnecessary, expensive duplication that we could reform by eliminating one or the other, assuming they do the same thing equally well? We'll go ahead, Mr. Joachim. Do you want to take that?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, we're charged to look at all the schools, hospitals, nursing homes. Minneapolis does those because they have adequate staff. So they charge their fee, or we charge our fee. Because our fee is less than theirs, some of the projects they send to us to review, and then they charge their full fee, which is they're making 40% off of us doing the work. So, there's no duplication of effort, because the plans need to be reviewed. One or the other of us is going to review the plan, but there's a fee difference, and that happens every now and then.
Does the City of Minneapolis have skills that the Department of Labor and Industry doesn't have, that we have to have both inspect? Or that one would charge that has the most charge and make profit from the work of the other one? Either way.
Mr. Chair, Representative, we do not duplicate inspections. Either we do the plan review or they do the plan review. Either we do the inspections or they do the inspections.
Okay. Representative Mahoney, to the point.
To this point, Mr. Joachim and Representative Gunter, what I know the department does, and it's not so much what they may review in the metro area, but you get into smaller towns where they're building a school or a nursing home or some other facility like a medical clinic, they don't have the expertise to do it. And, you know, Morton would not have that expertise, but they would bring that if they're building their nursing home. They would bring it to the state, and the state would look at it. It sounds like Minneapolis is... Oh, I better not say it. There's too many Minneapolis people around. They'll get mad at me.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Joy.
Just for numbers, we do a little over 70% of the plan review in greater Minnesota and almost 50% of all the inspections for those facilities, because the local jurisdictions just don't have the time or don't have the staff to look at a school they've never looked at in their career.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Joy. Ms. Jackson, I think you come back up, and I don't know if we need any more discussion on this, since we've had it on the building permit and plan review adjustment. On the elimination of construction codes and transfer, then, that money's been going out, Commissioner, for like 6 years now or whenever it was.
Mr. Chairman, it's been 3 years.
3 years, excuse me. So this will stay now with the agency.
Mr. Chairman, if the governor's recommendation prevails in the legislature, the $1.5 million would stay within the CCLD fund. And, Mr. Chairman...
And build up like the former
cushion you used to have?
Well,
and I'm not saying that. I'm not meaning that. Obviously, you needed...
Mr. Chairman, in the other handout we have for you...
Yes.
That is...
handout number. Referring to, yeah.
You would see what the... through the year 2011, what the potential operating balances are within CCLD with and without the acceptance of the $1.5 million transfer being eliminated.
So we're in the Construction Codes and Service Division on the handout here?
Yes,
on
the first page.
Oh, first front page. Oh, excuse me. Okay.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, members, a three-month operating dollar within that construction code licensing, we need approximately $6 to $7 million to have three-month operations so that we can write out checks to your constituents.
I see the hole starting to develop there. Okay.
Yeah, and we have, if we don't maintain that $1.5 million that is currently transferred, we run up a significant deficit in... well, our deficit starts in the year 2010, next year. And we would be in a very, very bad shape in relationship to the surplus that is needed for that three-month cash flow.
And then, Ms. Jackson, a comment on the page 14. I know something probably near and dear to at least represent Mahoney is the expansion and new expenditures on the apprenticeship program.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, on page 14, it's the apprenticeship program expansion change page, and we are asking, the governor is recommending that we increase the workforce development monies within the Department of Labor and Industry for the first year, 2010, by $250,000, and in 2011 by $500,000, and then $500,000 thereafter.
Commissioner, I believe that fund is expected to go down. That deed in which they transfer money over to you for the apprenticeship program, we gave Commissioner McElroy the authority to increase that like he had done when he was chair, and he didn't exercise it, and we have now less money coming in, and that doesn't even reflect what's happened to the economy since then. So I don't know where you're going to get extra $750,000.
$750,000
for the biennium. Right, and I don't know where, because we're cutting workforce money in a lot of other areas in the deed budget. So that one may be a tough one. Representative Gustick, at this point?
At this point, Mr. Chairman, in that fund, there's a lot of cutouts come out of that fund for various things, and I think if we limit those, we would probably have more in the sale. But Representative Sturdis and I worked very hard to get the upper limit there, and I can't think of a time that we probably need it more than now.
And Representative Gosser and members, there was a carry forward always in there, a substantial carry forward, which is completely gone except for, I think, $1 million.
That's because of the cutouts that we have from that money for many things that weren't really applicable to the fund. So if we look at all the things that come out of that fund and say, okay, does this fulfill the purpose of the fund, and if you judge those, you probably will have a lot more money in the carryovers. However, when we did them, we all thought they were very important.
Yes.
Didn't we?
Mr. Representative Hunter, thanks for putting the monkey on my shoulder here. You're the one that put all those funds in there, and when you were losing general fund money when you were chair, and now you want me to cut the Boys and Girls Club or the Boys and Girls Club or Youth Build or Rise or whatever. Yeah,
I was there. I get it.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioner, could you tell me what some non-construction programs are? Examples of those?
Mr. Chairman, Representative McFarland, persons who would be involved in nutrition.
Oh.
Mr. Chairman, Representative McFarland, Ms. Jackson has the list right in front of you right here, so I'll let her respond.
Ms. Jackson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do have a list after speaking with our manager, Rosalind Wade, and she can speak to the subject far better than most of us in this room. She gave me the list of healthcare industry, transportation, biotechnology, such as laboratory technicians, pharmacy technicians. There are energy technicians, energy remodelers, and those types of individuals in industry. And my understanding from speaking with Rod and Roslyn is that the industry is very supportive of this proposal.
Thank you.
Okay. And so, any other questions on the apprenticeship program expansion? Excuse me, Representative Bryan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just looking at the list here to dislocated workers, MFIT participants, and the workers with disabilities. Are there any crossovers here through some of the programs through DEED, that like extended employment, and I mean, or are these totally independent populations?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Brennard, I don't believe Ms. Jackson or I can answer that.
All right. We'll talk later then. Thank you very much.
I'm sorry. I just can't answer it.
And then finally, maybe just a minute, the last change item is the program that we just got going, I think, Commissioner, you may want to comment on that. I'm probably a little reluctant to support, but go ahead.
This proposal on page 16, operating budget reduction, calls for a $100,000 reduction starting in 2010 and thereon. It reduces our general fund dollars within the agency from $1.9 million to $1.7 million. These are the only general fund dollars that we have within the agency. So when we were looking for areas to cut, this is the only program that we currently have. And as our commissioner stated previously, we continue our commitment to the program. We will try very diligently to make sure that that there are not delays in how we respond, and we continue our outreach and educational opportunities as best we can. This reduction is to one professional FTE.
And Commissioner Ms. Jackson, and that FTE is doing.
Mr. Chairman, members, that one FTE would probably be involved in every investigation, every enforcement, and educational outreach ranging from child labor law to minimum wage to prevailing wage.
Well, and that's why it's tough, because it really is kind of the labor standards that we expect the Department of Labor and Industry to enforce, and realizing it's, you know, I mean, there are other funds you have, whether it's workers' compensation funds or licensing funds that you're increasing, by the way. Maybe what we'll do is we'll just say your licensing increase goes to supplant this money. Because you don't need the technology, you're already doing it.
Mr. Chairman, again, going back to our previous conversations with Representative Haas, included in those conversations, we try to have the fees directly related to the service that we provided. And Mr. Chairman, members, that's why I think it's appropriate that labor standards units be run with general fund money, because that ought to be the justice, the fairness that we as a people try to make sure we enforce, that we don't have children working before, that are 14 years old, working before 7 o'clock in the morning. I'm not sure, Mr. Chairman, members, if I get the drift of the chairman correctly, the direct connection between OSHA dollars or workers' compensation premium dollars and the need for us to enforce the labor standards laws that we do have on the books. That's general fund money, and that's why it appropriately comes from the general fund, not from workforce development or not from workers' compensation as such.
Well, we all have an opinion, Commissioner. And we're lawmakers, so we get the right line.
Ms. Chairman, I respect that, and I do understand that.
Any other questions of the Commissioner? Members, we have the in your packet. I think that's it, then, Commissioner. Ms. Jackson, thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman, members, thank you, and we would be glad to get back to each and any one of you at any time if you have a question. Specifically today, I know that we need to get back to Representative Mahoney.
And myself on those licenses if they're a state license but issued by a county. And I appreciate also the breakdown, a nice, easy way to look at your budget and all where all your money comes from. It's an easy format to look at.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And remember, that is just CCLD money is there. That's
on the front. No, you have
top sheet.
You have everybody else behind it. All those other pots of money, we can find that $100,000. But anyway, thank you, Commissioner. Members, the budget, the biennial report from the University of Minnesota, and they will be here Monday night? March, a week from Monday, when we have our first evening meeting. Oh, actually, next week we have, until you're right. But they are going to give us a pretty in-depth discussion on their budget. So if you want to look at this, if you've got any questions for them. I believe everybody has it in the package. We can't meet this Thursday. Yeah, we're not meeting this Thursday. But next Monday night, we are meeting. And next Monday night, members, we will have, help me out here, we will have our small board, which we're hoping to get everybody in, and Mayo is going to be here. And then Tuesday, we will probably be having some bills. There's some capital requests through deed. And then the following Monday night, we'll be having university. Well, we didn't have those. Well, we'll check on that then. We might have to cancel Monday meeting. I don't know when we're going to do this. Maybe we'll meet at 4 in the morning. Just when I get done sending those emails.
Just when you get off that computer.
With that, Representative Haas moves the minutes of the...
so hardly agree with these minutes, Mr. Chair.
Meeting. Any additions or corrections? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Same sign. Members, we'll see you then. We're not sure. Meeting adjourned.